and welcome to this week's Spotlight on Asia with me, Claire Broadhurst. Today we go to Indonesia, where the former governor of Jakarta, widely known by his nickname Ahok, has been sent to prison for 2 years for blasphemy. Ahok was Jakarta's first Christian governor in decades, and he got into trouble while he was campaigning in the last election in the capital. He appeared to suggest that Jakarta's imams were misusing Quranic verses to discriminate against Christian candidates. This created an outcry in Indonesia, where most people declare themselves as Muslim. This led to huge rallies by Islamists opposed to Ahok and eventually to his complete defeat in last April's election. He had been leading in opinion polls before the controversy. Indonesian human rights activists have been calling for the repeal of the blasphemy law for years. They say it poses a threat to the country's religious minorities. Indonesian political analyst Yohannes Sulaiman says the law is often used for political purposes.
On one hand, you can make an argument that it is increasing as a political tool. But at the same time, the question is, what next? And I think because we are going so close now to the presidential election in 2019, it will get intensified. I mean, the religious intolerance, will keep getting fanned as a political tool. Except if people really, let's say the government, started to crack down on this, or maybe people look at all the movement and start saying that, hey, you know, maybe this is not a good idea. I don't really want to make this worse than it had been. Because people are using religious issue because they were allowed, because there's no repercussion. But now, if people, they look at people actually start voting against them for using religious issues, then maybe they will learn that not to use it anymore. The blasphemy law, it is just mostly used as a political tool, and it is benefiting the majority religion, which is Islam.
The blasphemy law is increasingly used as a political tool against minorities in the country, according to Andreas Hassono of Human Rights Watch in Jakarta.
We are seeing over the last 15 years the rise of political Islam, political forces which use Islam to mobilize support. They are rising. They made local bylaws. They, of course, had influence in the national government, including the Yudhoyono government and also the Widodo government. But right now, the discrimination against minorities are into two categories. The Islamists were successful in discriminating women and LGBT, gender minorities. They are also successful in discriminating religious minorities, whether Muslim minorities like the Ahmadiyya, Shia, Sufi, or non-Muslim minorities, Christian, Hindus, Buddhists, and also local religion. It has not been undone, it is not checked, and it is still going on and getting bigger and bigger.
The sentence given to Ahok, 2 years in prison, was even more severe than what the prosecutors had asked for. Professor of Social Anthropology Bill Watson from Kent University says that's what's most surprising.
It's extremely disturbing that the courts, the judges, seem to have capitulated to vocal popular Muslim opinion, by no means majority opinion of Muslims. They appear to have capitulated to these hardliners. The prosecutor himself only asked for a one-year suspended sentence. However, as a consequence of the prosecutor having made such a relatively low demand in the eyes of the Muslim extremists, and in the light of the protests that they were making about the low demand of the prosecutor, the courts again capitulating, the judges capitulating to this sort of swell of fanatic opinion, then upped the actual sentence, quite contrary to what the prosecutor had demanded. So it became quite astounding to the members of the public who had expected, indeed, a much more lenient sentence.
For observers like Watson, the sentence means that some judges, in addition to some politicians, are now willing to do the bidding of Indonesia's Muslim fundamentalists and their mobs. And separating religion and politics isn't easily done, according to him.
It's hard to separate the two. My feeling is that the courts were trying to act independently of politics, that is, but at the same time were swayed by the volume, the actual noise being made by Muslim extremists. In relation to these elections coming up in 2 years' time, yes, there's a lot of sort of speculation about what will be happening. But it's important to remember in relation to elections, the past few general elections in Indonesia, that Muslim parties have actually only had a very small percentage of the national vote. I think that's something that needs to be sort of repeated from time to time, because the situation is very different, for example, from that in Pakistan or, say, Turkey.
However, Andreas Harsono says political Islam has been on the rise, which concerns him.
It is a serious rise of radical Islam in Indonesia. One indicator is what the National Commission on Women's Rights often mentioned, compulsory hijab regulation. In Indonesia now, more than one-fifth of total regencies, total 514, have mandatory hijab regulation, not only for Muslim women, but also for non-Muslim women, including Christian, school children, civil servants, teachers. In some areas, they also have curfew for women. In areas like Aceh, West Sumatra, certain regencies within West Java, West Nusa Tenggara, they all have this mandatory hijab regulation, one-fifth of Indonesia now.
On top of that, Harsono says religious freedom has been declining for years now in the country.
This is not the first time. Human rights was repeatedly, over and over again, inform our audience, inform world leaders, inform the Indonesian government that you are in a very serious long decline of religious freedom. Why? Because that principle was replaced with another principle. The new principle is religious harmony. What is religious harmony? Its credo basically says that the majority, in this case the Muslim, should protect the minorities. And the minorities, in return, should respect the majority. That principle basically denies equal rights among citizens. In Indonesia now, the majority are, well, basically citizens with better rights, with stronger rights than the non-Muslim. So that is bad news. That was the starting of the long decline of religious freedom in Indonesia. At the same time, the rise of radical Islamism in Indonesia.
Even though Harsono believes hardliners have the upper hand at the moment, Bill Watson says it's unlikely Indonesians will follow, though.
If you go back to the history of the establishment of the state, there was an attempt to introduce much more stringent principles for the Muslims to follow Sharia law and so on, and that was thrown out, and there have been other attempts since to reintroduce Sharia law as binding for Muslims, but that's been sort of rejected. In general terms, the common opinion in Indonesia is very hostile to the idea of greater Islamicization of the institutions of state. However, that does not mean that they are hostile to becoming more outwardly Muslim in terms of, for example, more women wearing veils than they ever did in the past, or head covers than they ever did in the past. But these are sort of outward symbols which don't really affect the major institutions of state in any way.
Activists like Harsono are concerned about Indonesia's future.
If nothing is done, if there is no clear leadership, if the groups that we call Pancasila do not regroup, do not organize themselves, at the same time the Islamists are getting stronger and stronger, having better organization, more money, better slogan, and of course radicalism, the spirit to fight, Indonesia is going to be an Islamic state. I guess in 20 years we are going to see a radical Islamic state in Southeast Asia.
But Bill Watson believes that's very unlikely. He says that President Jokowi's recent decision to ban one radical group called Hizbut Tahrir that wants Sharia law shows the government wants to keep Indonesia's Islam moderate.
When one looks at the history of Indonesia in general and the history of the last couple of decades, I see a lot of noise being made by Muslim extremists, but there's no way in which, in my opinion, Indonesia could become an Islamic state in the next sort of two decades. The vast majority of people would be very, very hostile to that. Very, very hostile. Incidentally, one thing is that in reaction to the rise in extremism, the Indonesian government has now banned the Hizbut Tahrir group. So that is an indication, to my mind, of how Jokowi and his advisers are, as it were, waking up to the fact that they must be more proactive in dealing with extremists and nipping them in the bud before they gain momentum of the kind that they did in a protest in December last year.
Religious tolerance has long been considered a characteristic of Indonesian society, but Ahok's downfall could be a sign that this tolerance is now being eroded.